This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, another Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah, and bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, another journey through the ahadith of the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, we are currently studying the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. That scholar, why did he put together these ahadith? Because as he mentions in the muqaddimah, the introduction, that the one who understands these ahadith, then he will bi-idhnillahi ta'ala understand the important matters related to this religion. Because these ahadith, Islam revolves around these ahadith, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, there's been a request that we do a little bit of revision over the last three ahadith, insha'Allah. Hadith number 36, 37, and 38, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And so, insha'Allah, that's what we will do. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, hadith number 36, we had discussed this hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ نَفَّسَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا. Whoever removes a difficulty of the difficulties of this dunya for a believer, نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve for you, will ease for you a difficulty on يوم القيامة. Brothers and sisters, we said that this hadith was very similar to hadith number 35 in that it's dealing with the matter of brotherhood. And it mentions some of those acts that you could do to increase and strengthen the brotherhood between one another. Whoever removes a difficulty for a mu'min, a believer in this world, Allah will remove for you a difficulty in the hereafter. وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Whoever eases a matter for a person in difficulty, Allah will ease for you in this world and in the hereafter, subhanallah. مَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ. A mu'sir could be a person who is in dire straits, could be a person in extreme difficulty. It could include the individual who owes money and he does not have enough to pay up right now. You could either give him some time, and so you've granted him ease. Or for example, you could completely wipe away the debt upon him, walhamdulillah. And so what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you ease in this world and in the hereafter. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Whoever covers a Muslim in this world, Allah will cover you in this world and in the hereafter. Subhanallah. Whoever covers a believer. This could mean that, you know, you went out and you clothed them, you provided these garments for them. It could also mean the one who covered up, the one who did not expose his brother, subhanallah. He didn't go out and say so-and-so has done ABC. He rather kept the matter quiet. Then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. And Allah is in the assistance of the slave for as long as the slave is in the assistance of his fellow brother. وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا. And whoever seeks a path of knowledge, سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make for him his route to paradise easy for him due to his seeking the path of knowledge. Then, وَمَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ. There's not a group of people who gather in the house from amongst the houses of Allah. What are they doing? يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. They are reading the book of Allah. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And they are studying it amongst them. إِلَّا نَزَلَتَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ. Except that Allah will send down upon them His tranquility, وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, and envelope them with His mercy, وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and the angels surround them. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ, and Allah will make mention of them in the company of those in the heavens. Then, وَمَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُ, and whoever his actions do not take him forward, then his lineage and the family he comes from, etc., will not take him forward. This hadith was reported in Sahih Muslim. And alhamdulillah, we've gone through a rather detailed explanation of this hadith, but as was mentioned, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, for a reminder benefits the believers. And so our revision بإذن الله تعالى. This hadith here encourages the Muslim to help one another, remove the difficulties from people, be easy with one another, do not burden the next person. One should, and one learns from this hadith, that one should seek knowledge. And one would be encouraged to seek knowledge via this hadith. Why? Because then your path to paradise would be made easy for you, insha'Allah. And subhanAllah, if a person does not have a'mal of good, he does not have good deeds, then who his father was, and the type of family he came from, and how rich they might have been, and they show social standing, that's not going to benefit him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least bit. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, Imam al-Nawawi said about this hadith, وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ عَظِيمٌ جَامِعٌ, it is a very comprehensive hadith, لِأَنْوَى مِنَ الْعُلُومِ, with regards to many sciences, وَالْقَوَاعِدُ وَالْأَدَابِ, many sciences, matters related to your character and behavior and adab, this hadith has all of that. Whoever removes a kurba, kurba is something which distresses the soul, preoccupies the mind. It's my difficulties and my problems that which makes me worried and bothersome all the time. Whoever removes this from me, Allah will remove for you a kurba in the hereafter, subhanAllah. Then we also find whoever eases matters, as we said, eases the matter of your debt, wipes away that debt, or for example, eases in giving you time to pay up the matter. And this could be in terms of money that you owe, financial difficulties. It could be any other type of difficulty. You know, you need to get somewhere, you need a lift, your car's not working, your car's not starting, somebody there to assist you, you have a breakdown somewhere, somebody stops and assists you, whatever it might be. Brother, you know what, can you please meet me at a certain time? I need you to attend a certain event. Whatever it might be, subhanAllah, whoever assists his brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. And that's why many of the righteous, they seek out opportunities to relieve people of their difficulties. There are some who go out and they seek out people to relieve them of their difficulties. Why? Because they're banking for the hereafter. If I do so, then in this world and in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove my difficulties. Even if it is the matter of making dua for your brother, subhanAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases matters for him. Remember, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of judgment, it's very, very, very severe. Very severe, subhanAllah. And wouldn't we want some ease on that day? That day, wouldn't we want to be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course. And so ease matters for people in this world, and then you will get that ease in the hereafter. وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَىٰ مُؤْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, Allah will ease matters for you. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا, whoever conceals, covers up a believer, either you provided them garments or you do not expose people. I mean, if at the end of the day you are happy with the exposing of other people, then there's a shortcoming in your faith. There's something wrong with you. You want to expose people, Allah musta'in. Rather, cover up the matter and Allah will cover up your faults. Are you free from error? No, you are not free from error. Do you want your sins to be exposed and your errors? No, just like that. Cover up for others, Allah will cover up for you. Some of the people of the past, it was said that there were certain individuals, they didn't really have too many wrongs, but they were busy with the defects and the sins of others. They were busy exposing others. What happened? Then people got busy with exposing them, subhanAllah. They were free in the eyes of people. These matters that they might have been dabbling in were private. Well now, because of them dabbling in the sins of others, people began to dabble in their sins and they were exposed. And there were others who might have been sinners, but they were not those who went out and exposed people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed their errors and concealed their sins. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, remember as a rule, you expose others, you will be exposed. But one might ask, are there certain exceptions to this matter? No doubt, subhanAllah. There are definitely exceptions to this rule. For example, if you have to report a matter to the authorities, if there's some sort of brazen open sinner, then you make note of this matter and you bring it to the attention of the authorities and you try to stop this matter. But if, for example, this person fell into this error, the person is remorseful, it's from the rights of Allah, so they've not trampled upon the rights of anyone else. It's not like somebody robbed a bank and you said, no brother, I will keep it quiet and I will conceal your error. No. When it comes to the concealing, that's with regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, if it's from the rights of Allah, not from the rights of mankind, if the sin is over now, if this person is not a habitual, brazen type of open sinner, if the benefits of conceding outweigh the benefits of exposing, and if you are 50-50, then we go with conceding, inshallah. And more especially, if the person is remorseful and regretful, then we cover up the matter, we conceal the matter, walhamdulillah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal your matters. Because every one of us, we sin, brothers and sisters. Wallahu fi auni al-abd, ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi. And Allah is in the assistance of the Muslim for as long as he is in the assistance of his fellow brothers and sisters. We know the famous hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Sahaba, they were out on this journey. Some were fasting and some were not. The ones who were fasting, when they camped, they relaxed because they were tired. They were fasting. Whereas those who were not fasting, they assisted and they put up the tents. What did our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said that ذَهَبَ الْمُفَطِّرُونَ الْيَوْمَ بِالْأَجْرِ. Those who were not fasting, they have taken the rewards today. Because they were on the journey, they did not have to fast. And those who were not fasting, at least were in the khidmah, they were serving others, and so they've got the greater reward, subhanAllah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who? Are those who assist others, who those who are in the service of others. Hadith reported by Imam At-Tabrani and others. وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا. And whoever seeks a path of knowledge, we found that majority of the commentators of this hadith, they state that what knowledge is being spoken about here, it is the knowledge of the deen, ilmu deen. It's that knowledge related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, no doubt, knowledge with regards to the trees, and with regards to botany, and with regards to your car, and knowledge with regards to medicine, all of this here, very, very, very important. But it cannot compare in importance with that knowledge which deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator. There's a difference between knowledge related to the makhluk, the creation, and knowledge related to the khaliq, our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that this hadith here would include the physical path of going out and seeking knowledge, and also the non-physical, for example, your reading and your studying, and you're exerting yourself, And the physical meaning, you know, you take your animal, or for example, you buy a ticket and you go to a certain country to seek knowledge. All of this would be included in the seeking the path of knowledge. Even if you be at home and you are listening to some sort of knowledge, you are studying something, then you are in the path of knowledge. Walhamdulillah. We found that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Verily those who have the khashya of Allah, they are the ulama. What type of knowledge is this? Mere information? No. But rather knowledge of the heart. Not just mere knowledge of the tongue. As Hassan al-Basri and others, they used to say that beware of knowledge of the tongue. It's only on the tongue. Does not have an effect on the heart. Whereas true knowledge is the knowledge which affects the heart, subhanallah. That is ilmun nafi', knowledge which is beneficial, brothers and sisters. Also remember, subhanallah, that seeking knowledge does not come easy. We find that Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, he said, la yustata'u al-ilm birahati al-jism. That knowledge cannot be sought with a rested body. You need to exert yourself. You need to go through tough times in this path of seeking knowledge, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. We find that from amongst the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Abbas, famous one of those who sought knowledge, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Jabir ibn Abdullah and others. In fact, Jabir ibn Abdullah, he traveled a month's distance all the way to Egypt to get one hadith from Abdullah ibn Unais. To get one hadith from Abdullah ibn Unais, he traveled all the way, 1 month's journey from Medina all the way to Egypt to get that one hadith, subhanallah. We found that many of the ulama, you know, the advices that they would give to their students, that remember, fahm is important, understanding. Then there's also hifz, memorizing is very, very important. And then lastly, amal upon that knowledge. Look at the word ilm and the word amal. Ilm, ayn, lam, meem. Amal, ayn, meem, lam. The exact same three letters in both of them, ilm and amal. The Arabs, mashallah, you know this language, to show the importance and the close relationship between knowledge and action. Knowledge, ilm, and action, amal, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. And from amongst the best matters to study is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and others used to say, that studying the book of Allah, you know, if the hearts were pure, then you would never ever get tired of studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an would read and read and read much of the Noble Quran in his night prayers. Some narrations that he would actually make a khatam of the Quran sometimes, subhanallah. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. And why was the Quran revealed? كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. This Quran was revealed for us to make the dabbur, for us to read it, for us to understand it, for us to implement it, understand and apply, subhanallah. And lastly, brothers and sisters, the hadith mentions that there's no group of people who gather. Group of people, it's not specific to ulama or tulabul ilm. Any group of people that gather and they read the book of Allah, they study it amongst themselves. Allah sends down His angels. Sakina surround them. Allah makes mention of them in the uppermost company of the heavens, subhanallah. You remember Allah? Allah remembers you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Remember Allah and Allah will remember you, subhanallah. And then the sakina descends upon them. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ends off this hadith with مَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ لَعَمْرُكَ مَا الْإِنسَانُ إِلَّا بِدِينِهِ فَلَا تَتْرُكِ التَّقْوَى اتِّكَالَنَا عَلَى النَّسَبِ. لقد رفع الإسلام سلمان فارس وقد وضع الشرك الشقي أبا لهب. The poet, he says that do not you are everything with your deen, and do not leave off taqwa, holding on to who your father was and grandfather, etc. لقد رفع الإسلام سلمان فارس, that Islam has elevated سلمان الفارسي, وقد وضع الشرك, and shirk has lowered Abu Lahab. He remained upon his shirk and he was not elevated, subhanallah, rather he was put into the pits, from amongst the pits of the hellfire. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, this was hadith number 36, beautiful hadith of our Nabi Muhammad ibn Abdullah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi walhamdulillah. And so that was a little bit of revision with regards to hadith number 36, which we had taken a few weeks ago, walhamdulillah. We learned from it to assist one another. We learned the path of paradise is via what? Path of paradise is via your seeking of knowledge. Gather and recite the book of Allah. Study the Quran. And lastly, who your father or grandfather or great-grandfather was, or the type of surname you have will not benefit you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if your actions do not take you forward. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we now move on to the next hadith insha'Allah. And that is hadith number 37 bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Hadith number 37 bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Allah, ya Amat Allah, remember that these hadith, Imam al-Nawawi put them together. Why? Because the deen of al-Islam revolves around these hadith. They are super, super, super important. Hadith number 37, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه تبارك وتعالى قال. This hadith is a hadith Qudsi. Our Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. Verily Allah has written down the good deeds and the bad deeds. ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ, and then explained, made the matter plain and clear. فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا. Whoever intends to do a good deed but he does not do it, كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلًا. Allah will write for him a complete good deed. Take note of that emphasis, كَامِلًا. A complete good deed is written for him. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا. And if he intends to do it and he does it, كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتِ إِلَى سَبْعِ مِئَةِ ضِعْفِ إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرًا. If he intends to do it and he does do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for this person 10 good deeds up to 700 good deeds, or even many times more than that. Subhanallah. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلًا. Whoever intends to do an evil deed and he does not do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for him one complete good deed. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا, if he intends to do an evil deed, فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ سَيِّئَةً وَاحِدَةً. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for him one evil deed. And take note, the hadith doesn't mention kamilatan towards the end. Allah will write for him one evil deed. One evil deed. But when it came to the good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions kamilatan, complete, mashallah. That's an indication that the good much more than the evil, and much more rewardable than the evil, obviously. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we had discussed that this hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Musnad of Imam Ahmed, Imam al-Tabarani, Darimi and others. There's also narrations from Abu Huraira, Abu Sa'id, Abu Dhar and others. Who is the narrator of this hadith? Abdullah ibn Abbas. We discussed his biography when we discussed hadith number 19. What do we learn from this hadith? It shows us the great justice and more especially the grace of Allah. The grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nobility, the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you enormously. You want to do something and you didn't do it, Allah rewards you, alhamdulillah. You wanted to do some evil and you didn't do it, Allah rewards you. You did the evil, Allah will give you one evil to be recorded on your scales, recorded in your books. Subhanallah. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, after mentioning this hadith, he says that, look at the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, we said that this was a hadith Qudsi. We discussed what a hadith Qudsi was in hadith number 24. And we said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered these angels to do the writing of our deeds. We learn from this hadith that the angels, they do the writing of these writing of our deeds. So whoever intends to do a good. We discussed the maratib al-qasd. We have something called a hajis. This is a fleeting thought. It just comes to your mind, you don't really give it too much consideration. There's nothing built upon that. Something stronger, we have a khatir, it's a thought. You gave it some consideration, and then you threw it out of your mind. There's no sin with regards to this matter, there's no consideration given to this matter. Then there's hadithun nafs. You play with the idea in your mind, you consider it either to do it, whether not to do it, if it was evil and you didn't do it, then obviously there's no sin upon you. Hadithun nafs, there's no repercussion for this. Then the fourth level, this is what we call ham. Ham, as per this hadith, this is, when you take a decision, when you propose an idea, when you intend something, you meditated over the matter, you are determined with regards to something. And so this is where this hadith applies. Then we have a level which is even stronger, and that level we call that azm. Azm, when your heart is completely determined to do an act. And the only way you wouldn't do it, if for example you were stopped and something else prevented you. Otherwise, you were headstrong, heart firmly set to do this matter. So whoever has ham for a good deed and he doesn't do it, he gets one complete good deed recorded for him. And if he had ham for an evil deed and he didn't do it, he gets one reward for that. Walhamdulillah. He gets one reward, one good deed recorded for him. Why? Because, when I intended to do evil, and then I thought about it, and I decided that, I'm not going to do this evil. Well, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a good thing when you change your mind from doing evil and you change your mind to do something good? Isn't that good? Of course that's good. And so you will be rewarded for that. Walhamdulillah. We find in the noble Quran, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever does a good deed, then he will be multiplied 10 times. Multiplied 10 times. We find that, if somebody, he gives charity, walhamdulillah, then he gets the reward of giving the charity and it would be multiplied. Somebody else doesn't have money, but he thinks to himself, if I had money like that, I would also give charity. Then he gets a reward, right? He also gets a reward for that good intention as per this hadith. But the one who actually did it, he will also get the mudha'afa. He will also get the multiplication. When you do a good deed, then this good deed is multiplied. This multiplication applies to the one who did the good deed, not to the one who intended to do the good deed. And so that's the difference between both of them. Walhamdulillah. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or rather in this hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if he decided to do an evil deed but he didn't do it, then he will get a good reward. Walhamdulillah. This is obviously, if he left it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا تَرَكَهَا مِنْ جَرَّائِي. He left it due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if somebody, he left it, because he was unable, then a sin will be recorded for him. We have the famous hadith that two individuals wanted to kill each other. One killed the other. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that they are equal in the sin. So one died, why is he sinful? Because he wanted to kill his brother. He really wanted to kill his brother. The only thing that stopped him was that his brother killed him before he could kill the brother. And so they are equal in the sin. But if, for example, somebody wanted to do some evil and he didn't really make any effort in trying to do it. He didn't really make an effort in trying to get that type of sin. This person will get the sin of, the sin of intention. He will get the sin of intention. Whereas the one who made an effort, he will get the sin of action. And if they leave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will be rewarded. Walhamdulillah. Also remember, brothers and sisters, we discussed that evil deeds, can be magnified, might not necessarily be multiplied, but evil deeds and even good deeds can be magnified due to what? Due to the sanctity of time. You know, if one is in the sacred months, the Ashhurul Hurum, then doing good and doing evil, this can be magnified. The sanctity of place, so you're in front of the Kaaba and you are committing sin. You're in Medina Al-Munawwara and you are committing sins. Or for example, based upon the status or the position of the dua, the person who's doing it, when you belittle a sin, then in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this becomes a great matter. Because now you are belittling that sin and you are committing it. It's not just like anyone committing it, but you are belittling that sin. Ah, it's a small matter, it's a light matter. No, subhanAllah. If one takes pleasure, in doing that sin, or you go along and you brag about that sin, then this here becomes magnified. Allahu musta'an. Or if you expose your sin and you spread news about the sin, Allahu musta'an. You go onto Facebook, you go onto social media and you publicize your sin. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this was hadith number 37. We learn from this hadith that, it shows us the importance of having good intentions, that with your mere intention you can earn rewards. And that's why some said that the intention is tijaratul ulama, it's the business of the scholars. That they might not necessarily do the act, but they always try to have good intentions, and so they can be rewarded for that. And subhanAllah, having good intentions has an effect on your psyche. It has an effect on your psyche, subhanAllah. Your intent to do good has an effect on your psyche, on your behavior, the way you interact with people. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We now move on, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, to hadith number 38, inshaAllah. Hadith number 38, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Hadith number 38, who was the narrator of this hadith? None other than Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. He narrates that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah said, another hadith Qudsi, من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته علي ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل أتى أحب. Allah the Almighty has said, whomsoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, I shall be at war with him. And my servant does not draw near to me with anything more beloved by me than the religious duties, the fara'id, I have imposed upon him. And my servant continues to draw near to me with his nawafil deeds, so that I eventually shall love him. And when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hands with which he strikes, and his foot with which he walks. Were he to ask anything of me, I would surely give it to him. And were he to ask me for refuge, I would surely grant it to him. Subhanallah. This famous hadith Qudsi, as many of the ulama, they have stated that this hadith here, dealing with the matter of wilaya, the one who is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It describes how one can become a wali of Allah and the steps to be followed to become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Shawkani has a book explaining this hadith in about 300 pages, subhanAllah. Imam al-Tufi, he said that this hadith is an asl in suluk. When it comes to suluk, this hadith is an asl in that chapter. What did Allah say? Man aada li waliyan, whoever has enmity against the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does wali mean? We find in the Noble Quran the word wali used, for example, to indicate one's son, one's friend, one's close one, one's asaba, the male relatives. It's used to indicate to wilaya in deen, that your fellow brothers and sisters of the deen. Wali, technically, lack of better words, would be translated in English as a friend, You know, but a type of friend that, you know, there's love between both of you, there's honor between both of you, there's this respect. So there's, you know, there's this love and respect, etc. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran two criteria with regards to being a wali of Allah. What are they? أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Verily the awliya of Allah, they are not in a state of grieving, they are not saddened. أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe and they have taqwa. What are the two qualities of a wali? That they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, this wilaya is open to everybody. It's not open to any special group of people, some special elite. No, you, Ahmed, Ilyas, Sumayya, can be from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of those who believe, is the protecting friend, the protector of those who believe. Remember that there are certain misconceptions with regards to the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some have elevated them above the level of the Anbiya. Absolutely incorrect. Some, for example, attribute to the wali qualities which are only belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some consider the fortune teller, the magician, you know, that these are awliya of Allah. Absolutely not. They are con artists. They are con artists. That's what they are. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Then I have declared a war against such a person. The one who has enmity against the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also remember, the one who deals in riba is at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is a highway robber, there is a highway robber, or for example, a hijacker today. Now, these individuals, as mentioned in the Noble Quran, they are at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who dabbles in riba, the one who takes riba, the one who records riba, the one who eats riba, all of them cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي. Then my servant, you know, there's nothing better than him doing to get closer to me than what? The fara'id, the obligations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the fara'id so much. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated it upon us. The nawafil, they are there, walhamdulillah. The wujub, they are there, walhamdulillah. But the fara'id, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves the fara'id. That's why Allah has obliged it upon us. Imagine salah. Allah loves salah so much. Allah will question us about salah the first thing on Yawmul Qiyamah. With regards to His rights, we will be questioned about salah. Allah loves it so much. That's why Allah wanted us to be performing salah 50 times a day. We all know the famous hadith and the famous story of Isra and the Mi'raj. 50 salah every day, subhanAllah. One might look at it and say, oh, so difficult. Look at it from the other angle, that Allah loves this act of worship so much. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to be spending so much of our time in making salah, subhanAllah. And well, alhamdulillah, you know, we only pray 5 times a day, the 5 fara'id. You know, we were, lack of better words, discounted to 5 daily prayers, and we still get the reward of, we get the reward of 50, walhamdulillah, each one multiplied by 10 in reward, inshaAllah. So Allah loves the fara'id, brothers and sisters. And so sometimes you find a brother, he wants to, you know, practice more of the deen. And so he starts, you know, eating with his fingers and sitting on the floor. They are good, walhamdulillah. But brother, Salatul Fajr is more important. Salatul Dhuhr is more important. The fara'id, they should be given preference over all other matters. Then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Allah said, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. And my servant continues getting closer to me with the nawafil until I love him. As somebody said, it's not important that you love. Rather, the important thing is that you are loved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves many. You know, one of those scholars, he said, he read in the Noble Quran, Allah loves the muhsineen. And he says, I don't really find myself doing so much of good. Allah loves the muttaqeen. I don't think I really have much taqwa. Allah loves these and this group and that group and this group and that group, etc. He says, you know, and I was like doomed. I said, you know, how am I going to earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then I came across the verse, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, loves those who make tawbah. Allah loves those who make tawbah. And that means they are sinning and they are making tawbah. He said, well, I'm a sinner, so a good thing for me to do would be make a lot of tawbah for my sins, and thus I can earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe the muhsineen department or the muttaqeen department and the other departments I might fall short, but in tawbah, because I have so much of sin, at least I will make a lot of tawbah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would also love me, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rest of the hadith, and if he does so, then I love him, and if I love him, then I am his hearing with which he hears, the sight with which he sees, etc. And we said that what this means, we found that many of the muhaditheen, various explanations, and some of the acceptable explanations would be that, you know, this person would be given the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, that he would use these limbs for that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So protection for these limbs. He'll only look at that which is fine. He will only say that which is fine, pleasing to Allah. He would only touch that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would stay away from the haram, the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, this hadith does not mean any type of hulul or ittihad, where, you know, as some misguided individuals have stated, that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the human being becomes one, like how the other religions say and mention of Isa alayhi salam, that, you know, there's God and there's also creation in him, Allah musta'an. We absolutely reject that type of interpretation, that type of, you know, philosophy. Absolutely incorrect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely distinct from his creation. The Khaliq is the Khaliq, and the Makhluq, they are the Makhluq. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Then the hadith goes on. Wala in sa'alani la'u'tiyanna, wala in ista'adhani la'u'idhanna. If he asks from me, then I will grant him. We had many who, when they would make dua, the du'as would be answered, subhanallah. Even up till today, brothers and sisters, every now and then you find an inspirational story, subhanallah. This woman wanted to die in Medina al-Munawwara, and how from one end and corner of the globe, she eventually ends up in Makkah al-Mukarramah or Medina al-Munawwara, and she passes away there, subhanallah. Many, many inspirational stories out there. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. And so this door of dua, this door of dua, subhanallah. Others, when you ask from them, they get tired. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry when you do not ask from him. Lastly, وَلَا إِنِ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ. When he seeks refuge in Allah, when he requires the help of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist him. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. We learn from this hadith that the fara'id are more important than the nawafil. But via the nawafil, you know, you earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn in this hadith the status of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we allowed to say that so-and-so is a wali? No, we're not allowed to say so-and-so is a wali. We say that he is a wali, insha'Allah. Why? Because we don't know the state that he will pass away upon. We know that many of the companions of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, they were out in battle, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about a certain individual, he's in the fire. Somebody followed him to understand why he's killing the enemy. How could he be in the fire? They eventually found that this man was injured and he took his own life, subhanAllah. And so we do not judge a book by its cover, Jaid. We do not judge your salvation, rather, you know, by your cover. We do not judge your salvation by your cover. That maybe all of this was just a show, but your heart was corrupt, Allah musta'an. Maybe the individual was a hypocrite, Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we learn at the end of this hadith that no matter who you are in need of Allah. That this wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he do? He asks from Allah and Allah answers him. He is a petitioner before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So no matter what your level, you require Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter who you are, that in fact that wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a greater link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the ordinary Muslim out there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair. May Allah make us from amongst the awliya of Ar-Rahman. May Allah make us from amongst His awliya. Remember, those who believe and have taqwa, they are the awliya. It's not a condition that you need to have some sort of karama or some sort of miracle or anything like that. As some of the ulama said, أَعْظَمُ الْكَرَامَ لُزُومَ الْإِسْتِقَامَ. The greatest karama miracle is that you are upon istiqama, that you are upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have this quality of taqwa, luzum al-istiqama, you are on the sirat al-mustaqim and you are firm on sirat al-mustaqim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease to our brothers and sisters around the globe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for forgetting our brothers and sisters around the globe. Allahumma musta'an. Those locally and those globally, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease matters for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy the plots and the plans of the enemies of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until we meet again, brothers and sisters, hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.